I'm with Lisa Curtis with the Center for a New American Security, a think tank in Washington, D.C., where she's in charge of the Indo-Pacific program. Ms. Curtis has been with the White House during the Trump administration, and right today we are meeting in New Delhi on the margins of the Rice-Sinai Dialogue, a collaboration between the Ministry of External Affairs and the Observer Research Foundation. Ms. Curtis, welcome to The Print.
Well, thank you for having me.
Now, this is the first time we're meeting since the pandemic. So much has gone on these last couple of years. First of all, the virus allegedly, which has emanated from China, although the Chinese deny it. And most recently, of course, these last two months, the invasion of Ukraine by Russia. Your first thoughts on what the what Americans like yourself are saying about India's position on Ukraine and Russia?
Well, I think the United States obviously highly values its strategic partnership with India. We saw that in the 2+2 talks that took place last week.
Right.
And so, you know, the emphasis was on what are the U.S. and India doing to cooperate together, mm-hmm. and, you know, setting aside the divergences over Russia's invasion of Ukraine. So there was a deliberate, attempt to focus on the positive things that the U.S. and India are doing together, set aside those differences.
But why do you think that there was this sort of overt attempt at putting the positive right in front? I mean, Joe Biden, the U.S. president, called Prime Minister Modi, which was unusual in itself. I mean, I don't remember the last time a U.S. president picked up the phone to speak to an Indian prime minister. So obviously, Ukraine is on everyone's mind in D.C.
Absolutely. And there is a major difference in how Indians are viewing the invasion of Ukraine and what's happening. Now, I think average Indians seem to be appalled at what's happening to Ukrainian civilians. But of course, the Indian government has taken a neutral stance, what they call a neutral stance. So there is, you know, major differences, because in the United States, people are appalled. They see Putin's invasion of the Ukraine is unprovoked, unjustified. The United States is, of course, sending arms to the Ukrainian, the Ukrainians to be able to fight the Russians. And the sanctions, are coming down hard on Russia. Mm-hmm. And there is a great deal of cohesion between Europe and the United States. So when India's position of neutrality is looked at from your average American, people don't understand. They cannot understand how India, you know, being the world's largest democracy, would not support a country's territorial sovereignty. And so I think there is some frustration. However, I think there has been a great effort to explain mm-hmm. that India has this longtime historical relationship with Russia. It has been importing arms from Russia for many, many years,
right.
even though that dependency has decreased to some degree over the last couple of years. So there, I think the American public is coming to a greater understanding of India's sort of nuanced position toward Russia. But you're right that at the beginning of the conflict, there was tremendous confusion about how can India, this strong partner of the United States, this great democracy, not support a country whose territorial sovereignty is being so blatantly violated.
But, you know, you're a card-carrying member of America's strategic community, Lisa, and it seems, it's quite odd, actually, sometimes, interesting and odd, that every week there is a statement from some or other organ of the U.S. government, you know, whether it's the National Economic Council at the White House. Dilip Singh famously said that India will have to pay for, there will be serious sort of repercussions if India goes ahead with its relationship with Russia. Then the Pentagon spokesman has said something. The White House spokesperson routinely, you know, there's a lot of sort of criticism. Now, do you think that this frustration that you refer to in D.C., is it at breaking point? How far are the Americans willing to go to understand the Indian position?
Well, certainly, I don't think that the relationship's at a breaking point. Absolutely not. Quite the opposite. Okay. Like I said, the 2+2 dialogue went really well.
In what way did it go well? Did the foreign and defense ministers explain the Indian position?
Well, I think that they focused on all of the initiatives that the U.S. and India have, you know, the operationalizing the major defense partnership, mm-hmm. Looking at ways to co-produce and co-develop military equipment. So there was a great attention to what the U.S. and India have accomplished and what we're looking forward to accomplishing in the future. Of course, Russia came up, and of course there was a discussion, but there was no U.S. telling India what to do or U.S. threatening India. It was a discussion. Most of the discussion was on how the U.S. and India can cooperate to address some of the problems with food security, and what's happening with the economies across the world as a result of Russia's invasion and then the sanctions.
So do you feel that India's coming around to and closer to your position and the European position?
I don't know that I would say India's coming closer to the U.S. and European positions. I think what's happening is we're finding areas of convergence to cooperate on. India, I think, has provided assistance to the Ukrainians. India wants to be part of the solution for the food insecurity that is enveloping the rest of the world. So I think there are discussions about how to work together. I also know that the United States wants to, kind of assist India in diversifying its military imports.
So what
because
it
Russia will become a less reliable partner for India. That's the point. The United States wants India to be a capable
power. Why do you think Russia will become a less
reliable
partner?
Because the sanctions are going to bear down on the Russian economy. Russia's going to have to worry about replenishing its own military stockpiles. The financial transactions themselves are going to become much more difficult. It's a different world.
But these are U.S.
sanctions. It's a different world.
It's a different world in what way? But these are not U.N. sanctions. These are American sanctions. So you applied them unilaterally.
But Russia will not have access to sophisticated technologies. It's going to be cut off from many technologies. So the very reason India has looked to Russia is because of Russia's willingness to provide these sophisticated
right.
technologies. Russia itself is not going to have the access to this.
But are you willing to supply these sophisticated technologies to India, say, for example, a nuclear submarine?
Well, I think the U.S. is moving forward with wanting to sort of open the gates to provide India with the technologies that it wants, that it desires. And in fact, the U.S. has been moving in that direction. When I was in the Trump administration, we advanced India to Strategic Trade Authorization 1, giving India greater access to dual-use technology.
Yes. Right, but I'm just sorry to interrupt you, but I think the point is that the Russians or the Soviets in the past have offered dual-use technology to India, which the Americans so far haven't. And I think that's why there is a bit of, there's some circumspection in Delhi that at the end of the day, that you will impose sanctions on India if India doesn't do anything that you don't like you have imposed on the Russians. These are, after all, not UN sanctions, these are American sanctions, right?
Right, but like I said, the United States has been moving in the direction of providing India increasingly with advanced technology. Armed drones. India was the first non-NATO partner of the United States mm-hmm. to receive this sensitive technology. So that's happened in the last couple of years. And I think the U.S. is willing to move further forward on this. And I think that this should be a catalyst for the United States to recognize that India does have defense needs, defense requirements that it needs to counter China. And the U.S. should be willing to provide that kind of technology. So I think you will see the U.S. Moving forward on this front.
You've been quoted in the Straits Times as saying that if Indian officials want to meet U.S. congressmen and women, that may be difficult.
What I think I have said is that in Congress, if India continues to, you know, rely on Russia for military equipment, you know, drastically increases its oil imports from Russia. I realize they're very, very low now. But, you know, if India were to not readjust its relationship with Russia at all, say, then I think that, you know, people in Congress would raise eyebrows and there would be, you know, questions raised about the future of the U.S.-India partnership.
So you, is it already happening?
I think here and there you hear some frustration. It's not widespread. But, you know, here and there you hear some questions about, you know, why is this happening or what can we do better? You know, how can we ensure that the U.S. and India come closer in their perceptions of security threats globally?
So do you feel, Lisa, that you are at, that India and U.S. are at this moment where things can go downhill very quickly, but that they needn't?
I don't think I would say things could go downhill very quickly. What I would say is that we could see the relationship not meet the potential that it has.
It's the same thing, isn't it?
If say, you know, the war drags on, if Putin is charged with war crimes and there's no adjustment to the Indian position, you know, these are the kinds of things that might become more uncomfortable between India and the United States.
But how does it matter, you know, if Putin is charged with war crimes, if the sanctions, the U.S. sanctions hit Putin and Russia much harder? I mean, I think India has already been very critical of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. We call it an invasion, first of all. But you know, in the future, if you're saying that even India doesn't readjust its position much more, there could be problems.
So I think that, like I said, if you know, the direction is not reduced, for instance, India's reliance on Russian military equipment, I think the expectation is that that continues to decrease. And naturally, I think it will, for all the reasons I explained earlier.
But why does it matter to you so much? What, I mean, India's position is one of neutrality, veering towards criticism of the Russians. Why does it matter to you if India is still has a relationship with the Russians?
Well, I think for many reasons, but one is if you really want to grow the U.S.-India defense and security partnership, that's going to be more difficult if India, you know, still is relying on Russia and has that close relationship.
But why?
Because there's a lack of trust. It creates a lack of trust. You know, if the U.S. is willing to provide its most sensitive technology, you know, it's worried about leakage. It's worried about if the, you know, Russians are very involved here. So it's
leakage
a trust
from
issue.
India.
Yes.
So you mean if the U.S. transfers sensitive technology to India, there could be some leakage.
Or that, you know, the if you have Russian systems, it's harder to integrate U.S. systems into the overall defense systems of India. So it's a long-term issue. You know, will India be more reliant on Russian systems or will it begin to shift toward Western systems?
This lack of trust that you talk about, this is a lack of trust with Russia.
Yes, which, you know, February 24th has changed a lot.
Right.
Before February 24th, Biden was seeking to engage Putin. They were in talks. Mm-hmm. But now we have seen, you know, the true face of Putin, and it has changed how the U.S. is going to approach Russia for many years to come.
So do you look at Russia as your primary antagonist?
So China is still seen as the long-term strategic concern of the United States because Russia is seen more as a declining power. So China is sort of more of a threat to the United States over the long term. But certainly right now, very problematic what Russia's doing. We're working closely with our European partners to put pressure, put economic pressure on Putin. The United States is not going to put troops on the ground, but we are going to support the Ukrainians.
So Russia is your short-term primary threat?
Russia is definitely a short-term concern. It's threatening the rules-based global order.
But it's not a global order, Lisa. These are U.S. sanctions. These are not U.N.
It's violating the U.N. Charter. You know, it's
that absolutely by walking into invading another country, it's violating the territorial sovereignty and integrity of another nation.
Absolutely.
But the global order that you refer to, it's not a global order yet. The UN hasn't said that these sanctions are according to the United Nations. These are American-led sanctions, right?
Right, that the Europeans are supporting Singapore. Look at Singapore.
I know, but I'm saying
Prime Minister Lee has taken a very courageous position supporting the sanctions. And, you know, he has it right. He says, you know, we're a small country. We're the most vulnerable to this kind of, lack of respect for a country's territorial integrity.
I completely agree that,
so I think there are, growing numbers of nations.
I think what Putin has done is completely wrong because he has no need to invade another country. But I'd just like to remind Americans like yourself, you know, you've been in the thick of things in 2003 when the U.S. invaded Iraq. These are memories that remain in our region. You know, you didn't have a U.N. sanction at that time as well. And then you come back into Afghanistan. You've left Afghanistan without, you just sort of didn't even turn the lights off at Bagram and left. So these things rankle in this part of the world.
Yeah, I think the U.S. and India certainly have differences that we need to continue to work through. I think we've come a long way in the last 20 years if you look at the partnership and how much it's grown. And I think the China threat has brought the U.S. and India together. You know, I think about when I was at the National Security Council and India and China clashed on the border, the U.S. pulled out all stops to support India, increasing our intelligence information sharing, right, leasing the armed drones, providing the military winterized gear for India, being very respectful of how India wanted us to deal with the issue publicly. So I think that the U.S. showed that it's a reliable partner to India in times of crisis, and it brought us much closer. And so I think, these are the things that we should focus on, the China threat and what we can do together to deter China.
Absolutely. In fact, that was one of the reasons why I think the Quad also came much more closer together. One was in dealing with the pandemic on the one hand, and then, as you said, in the wake of the Chinese coming in across the line of actual control in Ladakh, I think the US and India talked about these issues very closely. Now, that brings me to the China question. How do you look in, you look at the Indo-Pacific very closely. So when you say that China remains your primary strategic concern, how do you look at the China-Russia story?
Well, I think it's very concerning, this historical China-Russia pact that was released on February 4th. Clearly, they're seeing the time is ripe to try to undermine U.S. global influence and to try to assert their authoritarian ideologies throughout the globe. So this is something that is extremely concerning. That said, I think that China is realizing that it's not entirely helpful for China what Russia has done in the Ukraine and how the war is playing out. It's lasting a very long time.
You think the Chinese are angry with the Russians about this?
I don't think they're happy. I think they have made a point of separating themselves from what's happening. Mm-hmm. So I think that, the Chinese have many calculations. Maybe on the one hand, they want to see the U.S. tied down in Europe, hoping that we won't be able to focus as much attention in the Indo-Pacific or toward China.
Right.
But on the other hand, they see that the U.S. and Europe are becoming much closer and that Europe is now alarmed and worried about what China might do. Mm-hmm. And so that is affecting Europe's calculations towards China. And of course, they have, major trading relationships there. So China has to take all of this into account.
Which is really interesting because US and China have a very close economic relationship, don't you? Which has, in fact, improved during the pandemic years, I think gone up by more than 20%. Your trade has gone up by more than 20%.
I think that's correct, yeah.
So how do you, if you know, on the one hand, you have a good economic relationship, on the other hand, you view China as a strategic concern, you have concerns about the Russia-China relationship. So how do you square this?
Well, it's difficult. I think many people realize it's not realistic to think we're going to completely decouple the Chinese and US economies. That's not going to happen. But at the same time, there are strategic sectors that people are concerned about. And you look at the legislation that's been passed on Capitol Hill, and it's very focused on making the U.S. economy more competitive, looking closely at our supply chains, and protecting critical minerals, critical technologies.
Right, on the U.S.-Russia question, how do you perceive the two? Let me rephrase that. But how do you, your concerns about China are more long-term. Right now, you're not concerned about China.
We are concerned about China. Look at the fact that the White House released the Indo-Pacific strategy 1 week after the Russia-China pact was announced and 2 weeks before Russia invaded Ukraine. So that's a strong signal that the U.S. still sees China as the long-term strategic concern. The recent summary of the National Defense Strategy also made very clear that China is the number one priority concern, Russia number two. So I think that's been made clear by the administration, that China remains the primary concern because China is making progress militarily, economically, it's growing its power. And so it is a strategic competitor to the United States.
But how do you see the China-Russia relationship? Do you think that, you know, that Xi Jinping is going to be a much more powerful leader than Putin increasingly?
Clearly. I think what we saw is that Putin was already the junior partner in the China-Russian relationship. And that is going to be emphasized now that Russia's coming under sanctions, Putin's going to be an international pariah. So China will be able to call the shots in the Russia-China relationship moving forward. And that's another reason I think India has to consider this. Mm-hmm. I know India has always wanted to keep a wedge between Russia and China, and that if China puts pressure on India's borders or there's another flare-up in their border dispute, that India would look to Russia to supply military equipment and for support. I think that's going to change in the future. Mm-hmm. I think Russia, won't be able to persuade China and will have much less influence with the Chinese leadership. So I think in the long run, India has to think about these strategic calculations.
And the reason Russia will not be able to persuade the Chinese enough is because of the Chinese relationships with the U.S. and Europe?
No, because if China will be more powerful, stronger, the Russians will be more reliant on China because they'll be cut off from the rest of the world.
Okay. So last couple of questions, Lisa. The first is that the U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, and your Defense Secretary, Mr. Austin, were in Kiev a few days ago. What is that a signal of? 2 months after the Russian invasion, you have senior U.S. officials visiting Ukraine.
I think it shows undisputed U.S. support for the Ukrainian people and their territorial sovereignty.
But does it show Russia's weakness that it hasn't been able to take Ukraine? Or perhaps it's only taken the parts that it wants, which is the Donbas region?
Well, I think it does show that, Russia was not able to just march into Kyiv and take it over. That certainly, they did not reach that.
And what does that demonstrate? Does it demonstrate a weakness on the Russian side?
I think so. I think that people are really surprised at how poorly the Russian military has performed. There's not been good command and control. not good logistics supplies. It's as if they didn't do their planning, their strategic planning. So I think that people are surprised. Some people, I think people that have watched the Russian military closely aren't so surprised. But I think the broader public is surprised to see how poorly the Russian military has performed.
But in a sense, the U.S. was fighting Russia via Ukraine, wasn't it?
No, the U.S. is supporting the Ukrainians. We're providing military assistance, financial assistance. But look at the Ukrainian morale. Look at the leadership that President Zelensky has showed. Mm-hmm. He is the one who is leading his people and staying strong. So I think, you know, without that kind of leadership and willingness to stand up and fight, then it would have been very difficult. There wouldn't have been
right. And just, you know, finally, to come back to the India-Russia relationship, there's been a lot of concern in Washington, D.C. about a possible resumption of the rupee-ruble trade mechanism. What is the concern about? How does it matter? You know, the India-Russia trade is only, it's less than $10 billion. Why is it so important to you that India doesn't do this?
Well, I think the like you said, the economic trade relationship is pretty small. The imports, energy imports, also very small, you know, less than 1%. And I think it's the idea of the direction that things go. And, you know, if India were to, you know, really take advantage of discounted Russian oil prices, and it's only India
and China right
that are helping Russia. Well, because if the rest of the world is trying to sanction Russia and build pressure on Russia, if you have countries helping Russia and bailing it out, you know, that's going against directly what the US and Europe are trying to accomplish. So I think that's the concern. But, you know, as you said, the India's reliance on Russia for both trade and energy imports is very small. And so, you know, so long as it stays where it's at,
Lisa,
I don't
Curtis,
see a problem.
Thank you for laying out this picture, this big global picture for us. Thank you so much for your time, for speaking to me.